You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. As you always are here on Tuesdays at noon Pacific Standard Time, you are officially on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle Cohen. And as always, I have a wonderful guest today, and author and teacher, and a person who's going to teach us more about transformational energy healing and a lot more. So without further ado, I'm going to bring him on the air live with me here. And we're going to talk about his latest book as well. Hi, Jonathan Goldman. How are you?
I'm really well and really happy to be with you.
Aw, thank you so much for joining me today. By the way, people, in case you just tuned in here, Jonathan Goldman is the author of his latest book, which we're talking about, The Gift of the Body. And the subtitle is A Multidimensional Guide to Energy, Anatomy, Grounded Spirituality, and Living Through the Heart. Now, keep that in mind, because that's really important here, is compassion and living through the heart. We're going to talk more about that. I'm just going to give you a little brief intro to, you know, let people know a little bit about you, but you can elaborate a little bit more on that as well coming up. But Jonathan, by the way, is the creator of the Chakra Map and the Transformational Energy Healing, which he's now taught to hundreds of people since 2008. And he's done it through the Essential Light Institute. It was created, as Jonathan described, as a vehicle to help others understanding the teachings that he's received and continues to receive through the awakened mediumistic faculties. And as he says, just by paying attention. Now, that's what I really like, Jonathan, about that you say. I just got to pay attention. And we all do, by the way. Also, Jonathan is a pioneer in his contributions in the fields of energy medicine and the teaching of grounded spirituality. And I want to get into more about that a little bit and what that means. And that beyond religion, as well as his revolutionary studies to help others in the understanding of the human energy vehicle, which we all are and which we all have. So welcome to the couch, Jonathan. Nice to have you here.
Pleasure.
So let's just sort of start out from the beginning here. What inspired you to become a healer, or a medicine energy healer?
You know, a combination of that I needed healing, right? Like, like everybody, I have my own things to work on.
Right.
My own curriculum is what I say. I have my own curriculum. My curriculum meant I needed healing. That led me also to then start doing healing work. So in 1975, I started studying acupuncture.
Wow.
I went to England to do it.
That's amazing.
I was one of the first people in the United States outside of the Asian community to do acupuncture.
Oof.
And I liked it because it was helping people. But the truth is, I also liked it because it was weird and nobody else was doing it. You know,
you're funny.
That led me to work many years, doing lots of clients until 1987. I got bored, and you can't do healing work doing bored. What I realized in retrospect was that boredom was the signal that there was something else.
Sure, exactly.
Because that's how they work, those guys, right? The guides work. I ended up going to Brazil with a man who had been my psychotherapist, who was a Brazilian man, who said, we're going to go to a mountain community near Rio with people, a self-selected group of mostly Brazilian people. And in a month, we're going to do the equivalent of 10 years of psychotherapy and 10 years of meditation. And I thought, cool. You
know, yeah.
The level of things I found was so multiple that I can only describe a couple of them. The main one for this conversation is that I discovered that I had a spiritual healing channel, an inbuilt talent that I didn't know was there.
Right.
And it got unzipped. It got unzipped and opened in the community in that month there through the ceremonies and the healing work that we did. The center of that community's work mm-hmm. is the use of a tea that nowadays is called ayahuasca.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In that context, we call it daimi. And so that it opened up a spiritual path for me.
Wow.
It opened me. It opened up my consciousness. It opened up my traumas. It
right.
opened up many things that I'm still, 33 years later, I'm still working it. And
right.
among what it opened was that communication channel with other levels of consciousness beyond my own little one.
Yes, yes.
And I started over the next 15 years to receive this view, this methodology of looking at what I call the vehicle, right? The aura, all the bodies, and the location in each spot in the aura mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. where these mm-hmm. qualities live, where compassion lives, where faith lives, where your identity lives, where your joy lives, where your ego right. and superego live. And
yeah.
so I started mapping that.
Right.
And started teaching it.
Wow, that is so cool. How long were you in Brazil? And yeah, I know about ayahuasca, of course. And how long did it take you to get to this understanding of transformational energy and just know what was going on?
It's a great question because for me, you know, there are people that say, well, I was there and I just got this whole download.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Mine was like, there's the next step. Go, you yeah. it, yes or no. And the only credit that I can take for all of what I've done is I keep saying yes. And so the next step. So the next step was, now you're going to go back home and you're going to go to Boston and you're going to keep working and we're going to teach you step by step. But this is what they told me. This is what happened.
Yes.
Piece by piece. So I didn't realize that the map was a map for like 12 years.
Wow.
I just thought it was these little pieces of information like, oh,
yeah,
I'm holding my hand over this woman's stomach. And all of a sudden I hear a voice that says to me, I don't know who I am anymore. And I said to her, you know what? I just heard this. I don't know who I am anymore. Oh, my God, that's exactly what's happening. My life is falling apart.
Yeah.
I went down. So the next 12 years, I'm writing down, wait, I had my hand there and over this person's heart chakra. And this voice says to me, I don't really believe that anybody can love me.
Yeah.
Let's write that down.
Wow. Yeah, exactly.
You see? So for me, it was step by step.
Right.
Because for me, I had to be worked while I was doing the work. This was not just like, you know,
right.
I'm going to do some fancy healing.
Yeah.
I needed my healing, and that was part
right.
of my prayer. Look,
right.
I want to do this for everybody,
right.
but I want it for me too.
Right, right. So when you started sort of, I don't think you do hands-on. I think you do hands over and just feeling
both.
Energy, right? Okay.
Both.
When you started doing that, and you learned along the way, and you still are learning,
sure.
did you find that you were taking on a lot of their energy, and how did you work on getting rid of that? And I'm so interested in this. And where did the, I know they weren't audible voices, were they? They were just intuitive voices that you
most,
heard.
Once in a while with being audible, it'll be like, who's that? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, mostly was what they call interlocution, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But look, your first question is a super good question. In fact, it's one of the things I'm teaching these days.
Mm-hmm.
I just did a two-part class on mediumship because that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The answer to your question is, oh my God, for a long time, I would come home from doing my practice.
Yeah.
I spent 45 minutes in the shower pouring salt water on myself.
Right. Right.
For 45 minutes because now the revelation that came in Brazil was like, oh my God, 80% of what I'm carrying, of the pain that I have in my body, didn't
right.
originate with me. I've been
right.
a sponge absorbing the dirt from the world, right? Oh,
right,
my God.
Right.
Well, heck, let me squeeze some of this out. So that started that process. That exchange, right? That energetic
yes.
exchange, I had to learn. I had to learn on the job. How do I get to that place where, first of all, I'm clear enough in what that stuff sticks to, because it's
right.
stuff
right.
to me.
Yes.
It's not random. So for me, for instance, at the beginning, mostly what I realized I picked up was stuff that had to do with grief.
Right.
Because I had huge amounts of grief from my
right.
From my,
you did. I know right? that. Yeah.
And other people pick up the angry stuff. Other people pick up the scared stuff. I didn't pick up the scared stuff. I'm not a particularly scared person. Mm-hmm. But I had buckets of grief.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I had to then work clearing my grief that I had hidden away from myself and learn then the techniques, the energetic techniques of how do I identify what's mine and what's not, the discernment.
Right.
And how do I forge a relationship with light, with the vibration of light, so when that stuff comes to me, I can send it on. I did a session last week with a six-year-old girl who was having this kind of thing happen to her.
Yeah, right?
And I thought, when I was six, imagine this, Michelle, when you were 6 years old, somebody would have said to you, you know what? You're super sensitive, and we're going to take care of you and teach you about it, right? It would have saved a lot of trouble for me, too. So this little girl said, well, can't they just come and go quick?
Oh.
I said, yes, they can. Yeah. I can teach you how. The center of it is the embodiment of the vibrational state of compassion, literally stepping into the space in front of the heart of compassion, is the best protection, the best energetic protection. Because when you activate the space of compassion, which is a neutral vibration, a universal vibration of neutral, loving presence, but not involved, right? Most people attract the stuff through empathy. Empathy and compassion are different.
Right, right, yes.
The space of compassion, by embodying that, the stuff comes to that space and is held in the space of compassion, gets transmuted, and gets sent to light. So nowadays, I don't know. I mean, I still pick up some stuff, particularly, but 3% of what I used
to. Yeah. About compassion. And I got the idea of the empathy and compassion being different, because in empathy, we sort of take that on. But with compassionate, you stay, you know, is somewhat detached, but still there's an element of loving, in there, So that's so cool. And I just love that. So with the 6 year old, now, did you send her and bring her your compassion for her situation?
Well, here's what I did. It was super cool, right? Because she has these parents. I'm like, dude, everybody should have these parents.
Yeah.
they were holding her. What had happened, it was an interesting story. This little girl, they live on a ranch, and she was walking with somebody, her sister or something, and they came upon a situation where a couple of their dogs had taken down a deer, and one of the ranch hands was shooting the deer to put it out of its misery.
Oh.
Right?
So that's dramatic.
No, it's dramatic. So she comes upon it, and she said, the worries came. She has these worries.
Sure. Right?
What she had was an energy that had come from the deer.
Oh.
That had attached right at the back of her neck. And so what we did, what I did was join the space of compassion with her and her parents. We formed a circle of that space for her. And then I did what I do, which is, and this was on Zoom. I went and I just opened the space, and this stuff got cleared off, including this thing that was about this big, this white blob at the back of her neck, and went boom. And then she fell asleep.
Oh,
and then she
up,
and the next day her mother wrote me and said that the little girl had said, oh, I remember what it's like to be happy.
Oh,
so beautiful, right?
That's so nice. Yeah, but that is beautiful.
It's the space of compassion, exactly what you're saying, this non-attached, present, loving space. Mm-hmm. The space of all possibility, whatever needs to happen, happens in that space. And so we surround people with that, and then whatever's trying to happen happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So that's your loving, healing, a part of your loving healing. So, just to kind of focus also, we're talking about the information in your book, but you call it the gift of the body. So why did you choose that title?
You know, I was a person, like many people who come to this work, my attitude to being in a body was, when does the parole board meet? You know, and can I submit my papers, you know, like,
right.
not everybody has it, but I did for sure.
Yeah.
And what I realized in that need for healing was my, and it takes a lot of energy to stay out of your body.
Right.
You know, it's like treading water. You're like, right the whole time. Yeah. So I was like, I lived in about this much of my consciousness, right? I lived in my head.
Right.
And what I realized was, because I had people who helped me, I had, you know, married to a woman who was very embodied and loved being on earth. And this guy who took me to Brazil was an incredible therapist, a bioenergetic therapist. And basically I realized, no, I got to come in.
Right.
I got to come in. And so I worked really, really hard.
Right.
I did exercises and, you know, and punched pillows and.
Sure.
To come into the body. And then when I got here, I realized, oh, wow. This is amazing. This is not a prison. This is like an incredible multi-layered, multi-dimensional schoolroom.
Yes.
See?
Right.
Oh, let's go. And so for me, it went from being a punishment to being a gift.
Wow.
So I thought, okay, I'm going to call this the gift of the body to bring that consciousness. This is an amazing, this is the greatest gift in all the universes.
Right, right.
You know, and we treat it at best, most of us, like a convenience.
Right, we do. We sure do. I mean, it's like, well, of course, of course, we're spiritual beings in a physical body and all that. So so we need to really understand and be mindful of how, you know, our body is really, our body can be self-healed. And our body is pretty much made to survive for far beyond what we usually think but much of it has to do with our energy, our thoughts, our pain. And so we need to create within our minds. So we're not, as they say, in high beta all the time about worrying about our bodies and how do we get into that state, which you teach in your book, to understand that our body is a human energy vehicle and sort of get out of the body and get into a trance state, but get into a state of oneness and healing.
So look, you know, while you're talking, I'm watching you as well.
Yeah.
And this is what I teach people is we know the answer to our questions. So what you just showed, I wish I could take a video of you right now, and I would show it in class, and I'd say, this is the answer. So here's what you were doing. It was so beautiful, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You were like, you went like here, and you were like, well, how do we do this? And you put your hands right in front of your heart.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the answer. It's super simple. It's difficult, like it was for me, but it's simple. We transfer our loyalty, right? Like the being that I am, the inhabitant of the body. I transfer my loyalty from my mind and from my third chakra, right? We live in this culture we live in is a third chakra culture. The third chakra is about manifesting, doing, creating, gaining, right?
Right.
The image, the way it, the presentation, identity, it's all that stuff. So we transfer our loyalty to the heart, which is a completely different completely different way. And so literally in meditation every day, I breathe in my heart. Many times a day. You know, I have an advantage in that I do healing work all day. Mm-hmm. But I, like I'm doing right now, I enter that space of the heart and I breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly if I start to get a little crazy, which I can get, I'll be like, okay, breathe, 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 mm-hmm. breathe. Mm-hmm. I'm in the heart. So when my loyalty is transferred, as I call it, living through the heart, not even living in, living through the heart.
Right.
When I live through my heart, that becomes my go-to.
Right.
So my third chakra, mm-hmm. which is very strong and knows how to do all kinds of cool stuff, becomes the servant of the heart rather than the master. My mind, which is very interesting and creates all kinds of stories and is, you know, very entertaining, also then becomes the servant of the heart. And the heart is, because the heart takes into account all the layers. Our heart takes into account the spiritual part, the transpersonal, takes into account the personal. The heart has two colors.
Right.
Has a green and a magenta.
Mm-hmm.
And those two colors cover the whole spectrum. So the heart knows what none of the other chakras know.
Yes.
Heart knows, and the heart speaks through intuition. And intuition, being the voice of the heart, is like just has so much more information than my mind.
Right. Yes, exactly. You know, they were, discovering, of course, the sensory neurites, you know, those little cells around our organs that we all have, mm-hmm. right? That, you know, are emotional cells, actually. And the heart has more than the brain, of course. And it is more of a magnetic entity. The brain is electro, right? But the heart is magnetic. So that is attracting. And that is, those 40,000 plus sensory neurites, they say, are connected to the heart. So every morning I try to do my heart, brain coherent stuff. I touch the exterior as some of my Cherokee relatives would say to touch the heart and, the point of the body, touching the body sometimes, helps move the energy through. So the heart, brain. And when you describe it as going, just really letting the heart be the guide, be the master of the third chakra, which is, it's the ego, right? The third chakra is a lot of the junk, that ego junk that we have, right?
Yeah.
And also allowing our brains to let it go. So can you share with us how we can do this for ourselves?
Sure. Yeah. I give you, it's very simple. Here's what I've discovered. True spirituality and true energetic medicine is actually very simple.
Mm-hmm.
And the complications, when I tell people, look, if it's super complicated, you're making up a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, right.
It's very simple. So, okay, here's what it is. I'll tell you, and then through this, that some people will learn something. Just exactly what you just did, right? Put your hands very gently on your heart. What you're doing then is you're touching the etheric body of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The body of the heart, what the quality, the main quality of that etheric body has many, but the main one is calmness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you, like I do this, you know, if I get agitated, I'll do this. Or if you, like a friend or a child, you know, you just touch them gently in the heart and it gets calm.
Sure. Okay.
So that's the basis, right? Actually, under that, in the center, in that little button place by the size of a quarter, is humility.
I love that. Yeah.
Humility is the center of the heart, right? The two hardest things for humans to embody are humility and forgiveness, both of which are quality of the heart. So humility, then to put your hands here, then here's what you do. You stick your hands sideways out, you make a shelf of your fingers in front. Your hands facing up, right in front of your chest. You stick your hands straight out. You make a shelf, right?
Okay.
And then put your awareness where your fingers are and imagine a ring surrounding your whole body at the distance of your fingers, which is going to be somewhere 4 or 5 inches away. Mm-hmm. All around you is a life preserver of vibration. Mm-hmm. Ring of Saturn goes all the way around your body. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then you imagine that you're making a dock.
Mm-hmm.
You walk on the dock to the end of your fingers, you sit down and you dangle your feet in this perfect, pristine lake.
Oh.
That is literally, not metaphorically, the space of compassion. You are inhabiting space of compassion right now. And by sitting there and breathing, you're activating that built-in vibration. It's built into everybody.
Right.
Usually it gets activated by tragedy, right?
Right, so, it sure does. You
know, this ridiculous stuff of mass shootings or a tsunami or an earthquake, people are like, oh, wow, let me help. By doing this, that you're doing super simple and practicing.
Yes.
You don't have to wait for tragedy.
Yeah. Yes.
And you're activating your protection, your energetic protection too. If what I do is when I work with people, and I work with some people who are very ill, I lead ceremonies with, 50, 60, 70 people, and everybody's bringing all their stuff to
garbage.
Dump,
yeah.
Right.
Right.
Space of compassion.
Right.
And it creates a Teflon. Creates a Teflon thing.
Pick that up makes some, so much sense. Yeah.
Mostly it just bypasses and goes to light. So you're protecting yourself, you're holding a space of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a universal force, compassion is a universal force. Empathy is a human force.
Yes.
Compassion is a universal force. You are linking yourself not only with the universe, but you're linking with everybody everywhere on earth.
Right.
Holding the compassion. You are linking yourself with the Dalai Lama.
Yes. Like, yes. Yeah. You're tapping into the universal consciousness, I guess.
Right. Exactly. Vibration is so real.
Yeah, it is. And, you were doing this, in body language studies. I do a lot of body language work, just sort of. And of course, this kind of thing is, open palm is welcoming, and saying I'm here for you,
right.
and I'm no fear, and I'm open to you and what you have. So I mean that makes sense as well, totally. Energetically.
In that way, I don't call things counterintuitive anymore because I like intuitive.
Yeah.
It's more rational. Right. So I think, I'm so sensitive. I need to close up. I need to become get into my shrimp shell. No. Welcoming. Come.
Yes.
Come to the space of compassion. Let's be together in the space of compassion.
Wow, that's beautiful. By the way, in case you just tuned in, guys, here you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest here is Jonathan Goldman. He's a master healer. I mean, he's been doing this. He was one of the first non-Asian practitioner of acupuncture here in America. And I mean, he's been bringing forward healing, alternative healing arts medicine for so many years. And of course, as we learned a little bit earlier, and by the way, you can listen to the rerun here on LA Talk Radio, and or you can view it on our Facebook Live page. He also went through studies by going to Brazil and participating in energy medical healing as well, and opened up his heart and his life and changed his brain to learn how to help other people and heal himself. What I wanted to know, and again, the book you can get anywhere, right?
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon, and also you can find out more. Let's see, your website. I'm just looking right now, trying to find your website. What is the best way that people can find you on your website?
It's essentiallight.org. Essential Light is one word, lowercase, two words in the middle. Essentiallight.org.
Great. And you can get the book, of course, The Gift of the Body, as well as find out all of the services that Jonathan has to offer. You can get audio tapes and classes and so many things. So check that out, guys, by the way. I wanted to ask you about, there's a lot of people who have certain, formal religious beliefs. This does not interfere with any kind of religious belief, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not a dogma. This is not anything. This is studying the body and the mind, basically, right?
It's a point of view. Okay. When I tell people come study with me, I say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put on these goggles. Let's all put on these goggles for a little while, right? You can frame it however you want to frame it. No, here's the thing. It's a very good question. I'm very glad you asked it. Spirituality is reality. Spirituality is we are, as you said, we're spiritual beings inhabiting a physical form, right? An energetic form, actually. And that's just, that's reality. Religion should be a way of organizing the experience of connecting with one's own essence, with the essence of the universe and with light. That's what it should be.
Right.
It turns into dogma. It turns into ideology. It turns into truth with a capital T, and then that truth fights with other truth.
Sure.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
That's ridiculous. So it's not necessary.
Yes.
This can fit into a religious context because all we're doing is just describing what is. We're not creating anything. We're just discovering.
Yeah.
And it can work perfectly well for people who consider themselves to be spiritual but not religious, which is many people now, right? Many, many, many people now. In that recent surveys are like, I don't know, 40, 50% of American people, and especially young people, 70%, 80%. They say, yeah, I feel spiritual, but I'm not religious.
Right.
So it's not necessary at all. If you are led to participate in a spiritual path, this enhances it. But if not, right? And the other advantage of being in some kind of an organized group is you just have, you have the people doing it with you.
Right, exactly.
That's really good. We're meant to be social. Mm-hmm. But the dogma and the ideology, I have no patience with it.
Right, right. And I hear you. I don't either. But, I mean, it's just allow, I guess, others to have their truth. But this doesn't, you know, really go against any kind of religion and stuff like that. And I was looking on your website, and I was looking at some of the other great things that you offer. So you have audio meditations and things like that.
Yeah.
So so you believe strongly in teaching us also how to really get in touch with our higher self, is whatever you want to call it, excuse me, and also go into a certain type of meditation. So do you follow any particular orientation of meditating, or is there any special way?
I'll start with this. You know, there was a famous book called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, right? It was the teacher of that, somebody asked him once, he said, how do you meditate? He said, well, he said, if you're in your kitchen, he said, lie down on the kitchen table. If you're in your bedroom, sit on your bed. He said, just stop and breathe. My meditation is actually an amalgam of the teachers that I've studied with. So I, for instance, I love, honor, revere, and study the writings of Paramahansa Yogananda.
Me too. Me too. Right? I'm right with you on that.
You know, I like the real deal. He's the real deal.
Yeah.
Also, I've studied with a man who is, runs the Ayurvedic Institute in New Mexico. His name is Dr. Vasant Ladd. And he teaches, actually, these two things, they're very different from each other.
Yeah.
Dr. Ladd teaches breathing and pranayama.
Yeah.
And Yogananda basically says, stop breathing and just go. I have an amalgam. I do some chants that I've received also from Dr. Ladd, also chant that I was given from spirit. And I do what I'm talking about. I breathe in my heart. I breathe through all the chakras, mostly sit in my heart and, observe my mind when it doesn't grab me and I don't follow it and I come back like that. It's an amalgam, you know, because look, here's the other thing I would say. One's own spiritual path, like one's own healing, is best guided by one's own intuition.
Right, right.
You know, intuition.
Right. I agree totally.
And so for me, based on my personality and what I've needed, I've put together this amalgam because it answers my own, how mm-hmm. do I get myself into that space of receptivity so that, as you said, so my higher self has a space to enter.
Right.
My way is like, okay.
Yeah.
here. My job. My job is align myself, ground myself, do what I call the three groundings, grounded on earth, centered in the heart, receiving light. I'm building the structure in me and I'm ready.
Wow. That's
and
beautiful.
Then they show up in the time, sure. in the time of grace and the time of my own soul's readiness.
Who's they?
Who is they? In my book, I call them those guys. the movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. They're running and they're being by the marshals, and they think they got away, and then they look over a cliff, and Butch goes, "Who are those guys?" I'm like, those guys. You know, the ones that inspire us, and the ones that talk to us in our dreams, and the ones that nudge us this way, and then sometimes the ones who come and say, "Hey, here's what you got to do." You're doing the work you're doing because those guys or those beings, those ladies, those whatevers.
Yeah.
They grabbed you and they said, "Hey, you're going to do this." I assume.
Well, no, I'm not as learned as you are. I'm not as spiritually enlightened as you are. I know that. I'm working on it. But I think that, you know, absolutely, I'm open to the, as I call them, entities in the unseen, but they're in the vibrational, you know, they're ready to come through when my vibration, if you want to be crude about it, my consciousness, my vibrational consciousness is ready to allow them, you know, and just sort of there, they'll tune in when I'm on their frequency, but it's hard to get there sometimes.
But you know, here's what I realized. And actually I tell this story in my book. You know, so I started this journey I'm talking about, 1976, and then very actively in 1988.
Right.
So 20 years later, 2008, 2009, I'm sitting in a workshop because I lead self-transformation workshops and healing workshops and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, you know, like I had a duh, you know, like one of these duh.
Right.
I was sitting there and I'm like, I've received all this stuff. Like, and I just asked the question, like, who gave it to me?
Yeah.
And what had happened is because more recently, around 2007, I had met and I'd been working with a Brazilian healer teacher, a woman, name was Bashina. She was 4'9", little Brazilian woman, incredible teacher, medium, healer, unbelievable.
Wow.
And
cool.
Through that work, I had received my main guide.
Wow.
I received consciously the entity, right? But before that, I didn't know. So I'm in this workshop and I'm asking, like, who gave me all this? And he comes and he goes, duh. So here's my guess. When you get to the point where you're receiving, you're going to look back and go, duh, oh, wow, who made me do that? That show on, who made me do that, right? Because they nudge us this way. They nudge us like, turn left, turn left, turn left, turn left. And we say, well, huh? Oh, I think I'll turn left.
Right. Right. We don't know. And that's also getting in touch with our heart intuition to be able to pick up some of those
and that's
nudges. The nudges from the universe.
The nudges and the nudges. The nudges. My grandmother would say, you know, don't be a nudge, right?
Right. Exactly. So, you talk about the technology of light also, you know, in your book. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Okay. A technology has a purpose, has an organization, has a method, and has a result, right? Technology. So when I say the technology of light, what I'm saying is, first of all, the study of light is an internal science. In the sense of what is science? Science is a discovery of what is.
Right.
Right? Nobody's inventing nothing. We're just, right? We're right. So the internal science of discovering who we are and what our talents are, what's built in. One of them is the inbuilt ability to call and connect with the vibration of universal light. Universal light is a force. The Vedic people call it prana, right? Every path, talks something about light, right? Light is everywhere. Light is ubiquitous. But what we have a mechanism in us where we can bring a focused beam. It's like having a mag light, you know, and yeah. Mag light, you're like,
right.
So I can learn, I have learned, and I teach people to call and be available to a focused beam of light that comes like this, comes through this chimney right. Around my neck, comes down into me, and then is channeled out, in my case, channeled through my heart and channeled through my hands, but can be channeled through the voice, channeled yes. through music, channeled yes. through art, channeled through being a parent, being a teacher, being a right, being a worker, being a post, mm-hmm. What it can be channeled,
right.
Being a business person,
right?
And the awakening part is to realize, oh, light is real. It's not a metaphor. It is real, and I can call it. I'll tell you one way I learned this. My son, who now lives here, was living in Montana. I live in Oregon. He was living in Montana.
Nice.
And one night he called. This was 15 years ago, 10 mm-hmm. years ago. He calls me and he says, "Dad, I'm going through a really hard time. I really need help. Oh. You know, what can you do?" So I stopped and I said, "Look, his name was Aaron. I said his name. Aaron is in Bozeman, Montana. Right now, he needs a beam of light and he needs help." That's what I said. He called me the next day and he says, "Wow, Dad, I feel better. Thank you. I'm doing good."
Right.
So it's possible. Yeah. We get, each one of us is given a command of a certain portion of light.
Right.
And the difference is just that portion can get bigger and bigger and bigger, mm-hmm. depending on the work you do internally and depending on your karma. So there are some people that, like, you know, they are the light bringers.
Yeah.
Some of us are light bringers.
Yeah.
You know, and the technique of how it works and the becoming a collaborator in doing what light wants me to do, which is to channel it through me into the world.
Right.
And so then the technology becomes, how do I do that? And what's my method of doing it? Right. Where do I do that? And what's the best way to do it? That's where my third chakra comes in.
Okay.
To say, you know, right? Oh, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'll teach this class. I'm going to teach this class because that's a way to help people.
Right.
Or you know, in your case, okay, I'm going to do these shows because it's going to spread light everywhere, you know? And that's where the third, you know, we're going to organize it this way and we have to do it on this and, you know.
Right.
That's the third chakra serving the heart.
Yeah.
And everything serving light.
It's so true. God, that's great. I love it. Thank you for that answer. That's beautiful. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here on the couch, Dr. Michelle here. And also my special guest is Jonathan Goldman. He's an amazing, I would just say healer and also wonderful teacher and the creator of the chakra map and the transformational energy healing, which y'all can do if you pick up his book, The Gift of the Body. You'll learn how to do this within yourself. And also you can check him out, you know, on his website. But I will give you that at the end of the show in just a little bit. The book, by the way, is a multidimensional guide to energy, anatomy, and grounded spirituality and living through the heart. So I love that. I think it's just beautiful. Speaking about just trying to do the best we can do, and we're going to have to, you know, get going in a little bit. We have a hard break coming up, in about 5 minutes or so. But just wanted to say, how can people in this day and age sort of coping with COVID? How can they, if you're still with me, I don't know if you're still with me on the air. Are you still with me on the air? Ah, I think maybe he signed off. There he is. There we are.
I got backstage for a second.
That's no problem. nice to be backstage sometimes. But I think how can people really, you know, sort of in a quick kind of answer, how can people cope with all the hardships that they're dealing with, not only mental, physical, but also, you know, financial issues going on with the COVID epidemic? How can we survive and be happier people and feel better and lighter and all that stuff?
Well, let's acknowledge that it is a very interesting, difficult, fraught time, right? Lots of different levels. What has happened is the external paradigm got crumbled.
Yeah.
Right?
It did.
All that, so that third chakra thing of who are we?
Right.
Who am I? But who are we?
Right.
Who are we? Got like the veil's gotten like, this is
right.
It's gotten exposed as to like what's been there underneath that we covered up so much with our busyness and our ideologies and our pim pim poo and blah. Okay. So what do we need now? I'll tell you what I see.
Yeah.
The fundamental necessity, which comes from the heart, is we have to be comfortable with not knowing.
Right. Right.
And what we have, because of this third chakra commitment we've had, is we have many of people have a pathological desperation to know.
Yes.
And so we make up a bunch of hooey.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just make up a bunch of hooey. And some people make up hooey, and my hooey is arguing with your hooey. And, you know, it's a hooey because really nobody knows.
Right.
And so to hold that space in me of not knowing, how do I know? How do I get comfortable with that? I have to connect with my heart because the heart is comfortable with not knowing. Because the heart knows that really. That's an accurate assessment of reality.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. I don't know nothing. I know.
Right,
I know.
Right.
You know. Together we know a little more. Let's start with that. Let's start with the humble acknowledgement that we don't know and nobody knows, but there exists harmony.
Right.
Nature in its raw form is harmonious. One thing that we're seeing here, all of this dissolution, all of the, even the fact of how strong and difficult the virus has become is showing us our disconnection from nature.
Yes. Yes. So absolutely.
I can start with connecting with my own nature, my own true nature, which lives in my heart. And I can extend that awareness to nature in general. So if you happen to live in a place, I'm blessed. I live in the forest. I live in
beautiful.
But wherever you are, you're near something.
Right.
You're near a mountain. You're near a forest. You're near a tree. You live in LA. You're near the ocean. I can extend my awareness to that, and I can become in my meditation and my breathing and my awareness, my thoughts, I can reconnect with nature.
Right.
Put my feet in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
In springtime in North America, I can go out. I can, like, love a flower, you know?
Yes, yes.
I can do those things. And when I'm in my heart, I am automatically vibrationally connected with everybody else in the universe, but in the world, that is in their heart. And so I don't have to be.
Yeah.
Right. And it helps.
Right.
It
helps. Yes, it really does. Yes. Beautifully said. Thank you so much, Jonathan Goldman, for being a guest here on the couch. You're awesome. And you are so awesome. And thank you so much for your book. Guys, you can get it. It's available everywhere, but on Amazon, of course, or check out Jonathan's website, www.essentiallight.org. And there you can go all around and find out all of the goodies that he has to offer, including classes, audio trainings, meditations, and so much more. Of course, you can pick up the book as well. It's called The Gift of the Body, Multidimensional Guide to Energy, Anatomy, Grounded Spirituality, and Living Through the Heart. Jonathan Goldman, namaste to you. Have a good day.
To you.
Thank you so much. Take care. All right, everybody. Thank you for being here on the couch. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. And as I always say, take care of yourselves first, and you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.